Hello, everyone. Welcome into another episode of Kentucky Daily, a daily podcast covering your University of Kentucky Wildcats. I'm Sean Smith, joined by Derek Terry. Derek, first post-game episode of the season. Kentucky picks up a 37-13 win versus Miami of Ohio. Slow start, really strong start to the second half. Kentucky's 1-0. Mark Stoops ties Bear Bryant for the most wins all-time in school history. Sets up a huge matchup this week in the SEC at Florida, but we're going to talk all Kentucky, Miami, Ohio on this one.
Yeah, Sean, really, like you said, I mean, gave up a touchdown on the opening drive, and you look at it at that point when it's 7-0, Kentucky outscored Miami, Ohio 37-6 after that. But yeah, the first half, some protection issues and just, you know, having to go into the half, kicking a field goal for Matt Ruffalo to even be ahead, I think, a bit of a slow start. But then you look at the final score and you kind of evaluate everything, and really a solid game. I want to say, I think I saw this from Adam Luckett at KSR. I think it was the highest point spread win that they've defeated a MAC team. So 24 points. And Miami, Ohio is supposed to be one of the better teams this year out of the MAC. We'll see if that happens. But a really strong third quarter, and really, you know, after literally a minute into the third quarter, he felt like Kentucky was well in control because Berrion Brown had the kickoff return. And then Ty Asian forces a fumble that Kedron Smith returned inside the 10, and Kentucky scored two plays later. You go from a 3-point lead to a 17-point lead, and really they coasted from there.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously we'll get into some concerns. We'll get into to some issues, but let's start at the top here. Just how did you evaluate Will Levis and his performance? I know he finished 21 of 32. 303 yards passing, three touchdowns, and an interception. Derek, I know that he did miss some throws, but it kind of felt like that. I still think that Levis had a very productive game and kind of what you wanted to see from him in the opener.
Yeah, watching it live, I'm up in 228 this year. So really fun to be back in the stands, by the way. I really enjoyed it. I had a good time. But in watching it live, I felt like he wasn't playing all that great. Thought he missed two touchdowns. I still think he missed two touchdown throws. Yeah. One to Tavion Robinson. He had a lot of juice on that ball. I thought that was a well-designed play going back and watching it yesterday on replay. They had several guys open on that play. I think Will made the right read ball. Certainly, I think he made the right read. Tavion would have been a touchdown. Put a lot of juice on that ball. And then the one to Cummings, I thought that was a dart as well. Matter of fact, I actually don't remember watching that one on replay for some reason. But in person, the ball, when it hit Cummings' hands, man, it still just like went through the back of the end zone. It was a bullet. That was another good design, I thought, that should have been a touchdown. And then, of course, the fourth down throw to Upshaw that was intercepted. I don't think Upshaw was catching that ball, even if it wasn't picked off. So,
no.
In real time, I was like, man, you know, he's made some good throws. But then when I went back and watched it yesterday, he played better than I thought, because he had some guys bearing down on him. The throw to Dane Key, I can't remember how far it went for. Maybe the people listening will remember. It was a tough catch from Dane. I mean, he had a guy right in his face on that final drive, setting up the field goal for Matt Ruffalo in the first half. I mean, he was going down on a sack and found Tavion Robinson out in the flat before he was sacked. I mean, those are tough plays. Was really upset that he tried to hurdle like four guys there in the second quarter. Like, come on, man. I mean, this is you mean way too much to this team to be trying to do stuff like that. Sean, how much should we talk about this offseason? It's not like every day we pound it in our heads, but how much should we talk about, like, cut that stuff out this year? You mean way too much to this team to, like, get hurt in the second quarter of the first game against Miami, Ohio, trying to, you know, fight for was it third down at that point?
Third down. So, And two, like, to me, like, last year, it felt like a guy coming in that needed to prove something.
Yeah.
And he certainly proved it. But you don't have to prove anything right now. The only thing you need to do is stay upright and healthy, which then gets us into this. I mean, Kentucky had some significant offensive line issues, especially on the left side. Levis got hit way too much. Miami Ohio had four sacks, but they got to him a lot more than that. How concerned are you moving into this week, a road environment in the SEC at Florida, and that left side of the offensive line?
Well, I mean, it's a concern. I think there's a decent chance Kenneth Horsey plays a lot more this week. I mean, I think he was kind of – obviously, he was banged up a lot of camp. I believe Tayshaun Manning was as well over there on the right side. But Horsey, I think they just wanted to get him in there to get some work. But I would imagine he'll have the bulk of the reps at left guard this week, and maybe they'll rotate Jagger in elsewhere. For Wolobo, I mean, first start, I'm not like crazy down on him long term by any means. I think I just think it was going to be hard for them to really dominate on the offensive line this game because, you know, Wolobo had never played in a game. Burton, I mean, meaningful snaps. Burton hadn't either. Eli Cox hadn't played at center. Tayshaun Manning hasn't played at Kentucky. He's played a lot of games at Auburn. And then at right tackle, Flack said, I don't think it ever started a game. So, like, you had all these guys. Really, this was their first chance to mesh together as a unit. So, I'm not that surprised. It seemed like, and I'll be curious to hear what Stoop says here in about an hour, but it seemed like maybe it was some assignment things and guys who, you know, they weren't doing too good on the stunts. I'm not going to get real football technical just because I don't claim to know that stuff all that well. That's my hope, though, Sean, that it's stuff that can be corrected and it's not just an ability issue where it's like these guys simply like aren't good enough to pass protect. I mean, in the grand scheme of things with Wolobo and also Burton, I mean, these are redshirt freshmen who have a lot of football ahead of them. So I don't know if it was a confidence thing trying to help Wolobo out or if Goodwin's nowhere close, but I mean, he played every snap over there at left tackle. And I know it's probably easy to single him out a little bit and look at him as a concern, but to your question going into Florida next week, I mean, absolutely. I think you have to, if there is a level of concern you have for any certain position, I think it's definitely got to be the offensive line.
Yeah, I think so as well. But I do think that those guys certainly have the talent. I mean, they've evaluated that talent and brought them to Kentucky for a reason. And that's a position group where Kentucky doesn't miss. I mean, they've been very good there. So you would think that that's something that will get cleaned up, but it definitely is a concern. And I guess how much of it do you think in the game plan this week will it be to ask Brendan Bates and these tight ends to kind of maybe help out on that side of the line just to kind of give Will a clean pocket? There were a couple of plays that I thought Levis saw the pressure coming. I know there was one there where he slid to his left and made a beautiful throw. So how much do you think the tight ends kind of help and stuff, especially maybe not as much moving throughout the season as they shore that up, but especially this week at Florida?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think I didn't get to at this point. I might go do it today since I'm off work, but I didn't get to watch any of the coaches or even players, I guess, talk after the game. I heard some on the radio with Tom Leach, but it seemed like, though, Sean, that Scangarello kind of was pretty blunt that they held a lot back this game.
Yeah.
So, which isn't uncommon. I mean, I think you see that a lot in first games. That's a benefit Kentucky has that Florida did not have, having to play Utah in game one. But for Kentucky, I mean, if they were able to keep it that vanilla and still, you know, win going away like that, it should set up well for this week. But my understanding with Florida, there's no doubt the talent level is going to be better than Miami, Ohio. No one would dispute that. But I don't think they're an extremely deep unit up front. So this is a game I really wish they had Rodriguez for this game, a grounded out back. Because as much as we talk about the offensive line, it wasn't a great night either for the running backs. I mean, 50 rush yards? And I think that does have sacks included. So if you actually just look at the Smoke had 7 attempts for 32 yards. McLean had 16, so it's 48. Jefferson had 10, 58. They had 68 rushing yards from 4 running backs on looks like 18 attempts. So one of the worst rushing nights we've seen from Kentucky in a long time. I didn't think Smoke played that well. McLean unfortunately got injured, and Jefferson did as well. I mean, they might be down 3 running backs, 4, I guess, or, you know, yeah, 3. You could be down Rodriguez, McLean, and Jefferson.
Yeah, which then leaves Cabossier, Smoke, and Lavelle Wright. And one note on Lavelle Wright, when he did get snaps, he may have had the play of the night, you know, picking up the pressure there and picking up the blitz, and just an unbelievable play, one that will probably earn him some snaps and some confidence from his staff when that shows up on film this week. But yeah, this is the one where I do think that they need Rodriguez, because like we've talked about this, when they won that game in the Swamp 4 years ago, Benny Snell was the guy that grinded that thing out late. You know, if Kentucky's able to get a lead and they had Rodriguez, they would rely heavily on him to kind of take them home. That is a concern in a close game. That is a concern in a game just without Rodriguez to me going to Florida. That's one of the biggest issues and concerns that I have this week is, one, the offensive line, the left side of it, and then the possibility of not having Chris Rodriguez. If they had Rodriguez, I'd feel so much better about Kentucky's chances of winning.
And I guess as we record this, it's not even 11:30 yet. I think Stoop starts at noon. I mean, we don't know. Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's possible he could play, but I think I don't think anyone's seemed like whenever you know the reports were it'd be 3 to 4 games. So it seemed like the best case scenario would be that he would be back for that road game at Ole Miss. So yeah, that will be a bummer, but I don't know, Sean. Maybe they'll figure something out, and we'll be surprised. But going back to the offense as a whole with Levis, I mean, the numbers are good: 21 of 32, 303 yards. So he surpassed the 300 yard mark again. He's done that basically, I think, every game they've played against a non-Power 5 school. He's been able to really play well. 3 touchdown passes, 1 interception, which we mentioned earlier. Sean, my players of the game, I mean, I thought Tavion Robinson was excellent.
Incredible.
Just phenomenal. I want to say, and again, I didn't read – let me pull up the game notes here. But I want to say, just going off the – I think it was his career high, right, for receiving yards. I don't think he ever had that many at Virginia Tech. So, that's another small thing. And, again, it's just game 1 out of 12 guaranteed. But another portal guy who – Wandale Robinson came here last year. Obviously, he was on a full-time receiver at Nebraska, but came here, bumped his status. Tavion Robinson, it's taken 1 game. You could argue for him already show more than what he did at Virginia Tech.
And think about this too. The last 2 years, this offense has had a receiver break a record in their debut at Kentucky. Wandale Robinson had the record for the most yards in a UK debut, 125, and Tavion broke that last night or the other night with 136. So, pretty impressive. So yeah, first 100 yard game too for Robinson in his career, and that happened in the first half. So 5 catches for 123 yards. His previous high was 98. 6 catches for 98 at Virginia Tech. One note on Levis that I was looking at here. So it's the 4th 300-yard game of his career and 5th game with at least 3 touchdown passes. He's the second UK quarterback or second quarterback in UK history with 300-yard passing games in consecutive openers. Also, Tim Couch in 1997 and 1998.
Good company.
Very, very good company, which then – let's talk about those wide receivers. You mentioned Tavion Robinson. How about Chauncey Magwood getting his first career touchdown catch there? I know it's the guy that we talked about a lot last season that we were high on. And then you had the freshman live up to the hype, Dan Key, Barrion Brown, the kickoff return for the touchdown, Derek. I knew that Barrion Brown had speed, but the jets that he turned on there around the Kentucky 30-yard line, there was no one catching.
Yeah, that's a different level of burst than what I think we've seen at Kentucky. And a huge play too, Sean. I mean, a huge play. We talked about that earlier. I mean, that was a great minute and 3 seconds or whatever it was to start the second half. But came at a crucial time, and he got it and, you know, made one cut and just elite speed. Remember, he got to that corner, got to the sideline, and then turned on the jets, and he only had to beat the kicker. I mean, there was no one really within the picture. A little nervous there that he might have dropped the ball before. Which would have been, man, what a bummer that would have been. But kind of the best case scenario, though, because you get to keep the touchdown, and yet it's still a learning lesson for him. It was close enough to where, you know, you hope Barrion won't do that again. And, I mean, it's weird because watching it in real time on the replay didn't really look that close. But then when he did slow it down, it was a little too close for comfort. But the other thing, and I don't remember, Sean, last year, do you happen to remember how many catches Wandale had in the first game? Because we all know the target share for Wandale last year was crazy compared, but I bring that up because Tavion only had 6 catches out of 21 completions. So he was still the leading receiver, but you look at Dan Key had 4 catches. Barrion had 3 catches. Smoke and Dingle both had 2. And then DeMarcus Harris, LaVell Wright, Magwood, and then Brendan Bates, who also got a touchdown. All those guys had at least 1 reception as well. So, I mean, it was spread around pretty well for only 21 completions.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
That is a big deal. Because that was certainly a thing last year with Wandale, but I'm trying to find those stats. Let me pull them up here. Maybe
not a huge game, but I can't remember if it was like a double digit, you know, like reception game. It was just, I mean, he caught multiple touchdowns. And now I know Josh Ali had some catches in the season opener last year to do that. But the big thing with Tavion that was just crazy, man, like out of his 136 yards, 103 of those came after the catch. So, I mean, this was a guy who was doing a lot of damage whenever he caught the football. I mean, he opened the game with a 45-yard reception, and then I think later in the game he might have had another one over 30 right there before the half. And that was the throw you were talking about where Levis slid to his left.
Yeah.
And got free and threw a great ball. Not really across his body, but he slid left, and then Robinson was running his route over the middle, and he threw a dart to him to get it there. I mean, I was very pleased with the passing game. I mean, like I said, there were a couple throws for Levis that you'd like to see some more touch on it. But in terms of – I mean, I'm not going to complain. At Kentucky, with what we've seen in the Stoops here, I'm not going to complain about 303 yards passing touchdowns.
No, absolutely not. And then Levis, too, became the 15th player in UK history to eclipse 3,000 career passing yards. So another note there for him. He's now with 3,130. We talked about Barron Brown's kickoff return for a touchdown there to open the second half. How about special teams play overall, specifically the turn game, then the return game? Then you had Ruffalo kick a 50-yard field goal. You had a punt block there by J.J. Weaver. Special teams, Derek, I remember at one point in Mark Stoops' era, it was kind of a running joke, especially when they had that road game at LSU back, I think, 2015.
Yeah.
Now special teams play is a strength. And that will benefit when you get into league play.
No doubt. I mean, that was huge. I mean, there's nothing. I was thinking about it, actually. I was up in the stands on Saturday night. I was like, man. And I thought about it last night. Did you watch LSU play?
I did.
Two muff punts.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big deal whenever you screw up those punts. And, I mean, it nearly cost LSU the game, which was a wild-ass college football game anyway. Should have been over on that muff punt, but it wasn't. But what I'm saying is UK for years, I mean, even when they had Lynn Bowden, he was not the full-time guy. I mean, you had, I think, Bouvier back there 1 year. On kick return last year, you know, you had a walk-on in Zach Johnson, a good program guy, a kid who did a lot of good things. And I think Stoops felt like it was a way to reward him. And I wouldn't say there's anything wrong with that per se, but you saw immediately on Saturday night, whenever you have a guy like Tavion Robinson at punt return, who was a three-time or last year, a third team, I mean, all ACC member, a large part because of how good he is at returning punts. And then you have Barion. They had not had a single kickoff return for touchdown in the Stoops era. This kid's first game, they get one. Whenever you have elite, and I don't care. So, I mean, Barion has elite level speed. I don't think anyone's questioning that. And I think Tavion Robinson has elite level just punt return abilities, just the way he sees the field, when to fair catch it, decision making is very good. That's a huge upgrade in those two compartments. I don't think we really spent much time at all talking about. And do I expect them to have huge games like that every single game? No. I mean, you're going to see better athletes in the SEC on special teams. I mean, I think they were able to out athlete Miami, Ohio a little bit there. But you also have a block punt from J.J. Weaver. Alex Afari damn near blocked a kick, too. I think Miami's maybe their last field goal. He got through there and nearly blocked it. And then Matt Ruffalo was perfect. So, really, all the way around, I mean, I don't think Goodfellow's punts were all that great. But as it was, overwhelmingly, I thought a great performance from the special teams unit.
So, I found Wandale's stats. He had 5 catches in that opener last season. Levis completed 18 balls. But Levis completed 233 passes last year. 104 of them were to Wandale Robinson.
So, I mean, I know it's one game, but, like, what do you – I just don't see any way that it's going to be like that again this year. I didn't even think that Will was just locking on to Tavion. I mean, I think he's
doing a
good job sprinting around.
Yep. I think Tavion will be his guy. I think that will be the guy that he looks to in certain situations, but I think that they're going to spread this thing around and get, you know, get a lot of guys involved. DeMarcus Harris had a catch there, kind of a big play, one that was, I think it was a batted ball that was him that caught the ball that,
I mean, was it deflected. It was maybe arguably the biggest play that because of what happened in the second half and it got blown out. But at the time that was a huge play. Cause
it was,
that was another play where Levis was about to get crushed and threw it, it got batted and it went right to him. And Harris, I mean, they went right back to him the next play. I didn't think it was a great ball from Will. Harris got his hands on it, but it was a bullet and it was thrown behind him a little bit. But that was a big play. And we talk about the wide receiver rotation. I was curious to see how they would do that. I didn't see a snap count, but the guys who were listed as starters did start, Robinson, Key, and Brown. And they also brought in, you know, Magwood came in. He had his one game. He was very efficient, one catch, one touchdown. Same for Brendan Bates, one catch, one touchdown. But Chris Lewis didn't play a whole lot. So if you're kind of stacking up the top five wide receivers there, it was definitely the three starters plus DeMarcus Harris and Chauncey Magwood. So this weekend, I think it'll probably be another pretty tight rotation. Yeah. But then, Sean, I think what you're going to see, and we'll probably talk about this more when it gets closer, the way the schedule shakes out with Youngstown State and the Northern Illinois after that, it feels like that's going to be the chance for some of these guys who are maybe on the fringe of if they're going to be contributors this season or not. Like, that's kind of your last chance, I would say, in those two games. Because after that, it's all SEC and then Louisville to close the season. I mean, I think you're going to want to know who – and that same goes not just for wide receivers, but that's pretty much every position. Offensive line – I think you hope that you have a rotation figured out. Same deal with on defense. And by that point too, Rodriguez should hopefully be back. So you might see a more full version of what Kentucky will be the remainder of the season starting in week five. But I thought it was great to get a lot of young guys out. We've not really talked about defense at all, but defensively, Alex Afari maybe played the best game of anyone on that defense, which is hard to believe since he's just a freshman.
Yeah, he was all over the place. I mean, I felt like they were calling his name out multiple times, six total tackles, one sack, 1.5 tackles for loss. DeAndre Square led the team with 7 tackles. Just a lot of young guys, though, I think is the biggest takeaway for me. Kentucky had a lot of youth showing up, and Brown and Key and Afari and Deion Walker out there. Like, they had a lot of youth out there, Derek, but guys that looked the part and certainly belong.
Keaton Wade, another guy who
Keaton Wade.
He read a screenplay brilliantly, and it was going to be wiped off anyway because I think it was an illegal formation or they called a flag on Miami, Ohio. I can't remember exactly what the flag was, but read it perfectly, came in, put a big hit on the receiver, running back, whoever it was that was getting the screen. He looked the part, man, even more than I thought he would have. And I watched him at the open practice, but he – I figured he would be a guy just because of depth. Like, I know Jordan Wright was out that game. So, you knew you're going to have to use some young guys, but Keaton Wade looks like a for sure playing all season type kid to me.
Yeah, he does.
And Deion Walker, so impressive just how big he is, man. He was standing out there next to Justin Rogers, who I think is listed at like 6'2", 300 something pounds. And like, he just dwarfed him, man. Walker just dwarfed the guy. And then you go look, and it's kind of off topic, but you go look at the picture from the, high school ceremony or whatever that Deion Walker and Keontae Goodwin were at together on signing day last year, and Goodwin like kind of dwarfs Deion Walker's, which tells you how big Keontae is. But he moved so well. Really a good game for the defense. I mean, you look up, they gave up what, 290 yards, 179 pass yards, 111 rushing yards. But after the first drive, they didn't give up a touchdown the rest of the game. Held Miami Ohio to field goals and 13 points overall. It was a pretty strong night, I thought. I mean, there's really no one on that defense that you look at. It's like, man, this guy really played a bad game. I thought both the linebackers, the starting linebackers, the super seniors, and Square and Jones played really well. Weaver got a sack, forced a fumble on that sack. They didn't recover, but the quarterback got it back. But a good job to get in there and knock the ball out when he was making a play. But Afari seems like a pretty big upgrade, though, to that secondary, the spot that he's going to be in. I mean, he's the you're kind of struck at how many guys in this freshman class that – could play pretty much anywhere. I mean, Walker, there's no one in the country. I promise you there's no. I mean, they beat up Georgia and Michigan, two teams that were in the playoffs to get that kid. I mean, every team in America would welcome him on their team. Barion Brown, I mean, another guy that was recruited by a lot of heavyweights. Dane was not recruited to the extent that those other guys were. I mean, South Carolina, Michigan, I know were on Dane, but a guy that maybe more than any of those others came in and took a job right away. Basically, as soon as he got to Kentucky, he was a starting receiver. And then Keaton Wade was another good recruiting win and a key position too. I mean, they really needed to hit on some good edge players last year, because I mean, Keaton could be a starter next year. Very well could be a starter next season, and getting him out here early in game one, doing some good things. I was really – I thought those guys that they had talked about all offseason in this first game, they all looked like they belonged, and I thought that was pretty much what I was looking for. And, again, I wish I had seen the snap counts, but, I mean, it felt like Deion was out there a lot. I mean, almost the whole game whenever they were out there on defense. So that was really good to see. I was really impressed with that. And we'll see how they handle the first road game, and we'll get into Florida more later this week. But we'll see how they handle that aspect of it. But as it was, there is a lot to be excited about with those guys. And you'll probably see more of these younger guys too. Hopefully Youngstown State's a blowout and they can get even more young guys in to play some snaps.
Yeah, and in our next episode, we'll talk everything that Mark Stoops says today. We'll talk AP poll, because that won't come out till Tuesday, because there's still football to be played today. And then we'll get into some more of Kentucky, Florida. Anything you want to add before we wrap this thing up?
Just glad football's back, man. I thought, what'd you think about Scangarello that first game?
I like him. I think obviously we know, and he admitted that they're not showing everything right now. But I will tell you a funny story about him. He came in the media room right before Stoops took the podium, and he was looking for a cell phone. He couldn't find it. He must have left his phone in there, because they use that media room and stuff for meetings and stuff at halftime with and everything. So I don't know if he brought his phone over there, but hopefully he found his cell phone.
Yeah, a little hassle to have to go get that replaced, I would say, especially in that manner. But no, I felt like these NFL guys, and Liam was so good, it seemed like, at scripting those opening drives. And then Kentucky, very first drive. I mean, you know, the stadium's feeling a little, because Miami, Ohio, like it is a deflating way to start this. And again, it's a long game.
Impressive crowd, though. Very impressive crowd.
For a season opener, man. I think, well, did you tweet it? I think it was the biggest crowd since 2015, right? For a season
opener. Biggest. Yep. The biggest since the renovated stadium.
And it does help having a night game for that too. But hey, man, the weather looked bad all day. I was stunned that it didn't rain, because like we left, my wife and I left for the stadium around like 2:30, 2:40, somewhere around there. And when we left, man, it was like 100% chance of rain from like 8 to 10.
And then I texted you and was asking like, what in the world happens? If there's lightning and stuff, and this thing gets into 9:00, 9:30, like what do you do? Like you can't start it that late.
Yeah. Well, I think we caught a break there with no rain, maybe some sprinkles here and there, but nothing that delayed the game or even really affected the game, because, you know, God, 2019 that year, it was like every game it felt like was in the rain. And it really kind of, I mean, it influenced the stats that year, because you remember how high Kentucky's pass defense ranked that season, and that was like kind of a facade. They really weren't as good as what they're ranking suggested they were, but because every game was played in a monsoon out there, it felt like teams had a harder time throwing the ball. But no, Scangarello, I thought he drew up a really good opening drive, and of course it helps when you get 45 yards on your first play. But I'll be curious to see how much they did hold back, and I know that's kind of always a popular thing to say whenever you play a team you should beat like Miami, Ohio, and you don't have to empty the full clip on those guys.
Can give you some update here. Chris Rodriguez is not on the depth chart this week.
Yeah, so there you go.
So and no Jordan Wright either. So John Hill just tweeted no Chris Rodriguez or Jordan Wright on the new UK football depth chart. So
I do still see – I wanted to mention this too real quick. I do still see Trevin Wallace on the depth chart, but he did not play. He was in full pads, never put his helmet on. Not sure what the deal was there, but they kind of
– I'm sure he gets asked about that today.
I would think. Sean, I don't see any change of the depth chart, do you? Lavelle Wright's on there. I think Ramon Jefferson was on there the first week. So,
yep.
He had a knee injury, I believe. So, that's another tough
loss. If that's Kentucky's backfield at Florida, it wouldn't shock me if Lavelle ends up being the bulk of the carries.
Oh, well, here's the big thing, and this is not – I understand this is not great live podcasting, but we'll probably save the majority of this. But, Sean, the big one, and I'm surprised it didn't get tweeted yet, Kenneth Horsey is starting at left tackle this week, and not David Wallabo. So we'll get into all that, though, after Stoops has his comments.
Well, let's make one quick prediction here. Anyone you want to predict on the SEC Player of the Week awards? Barry and Brown, Special Teams Player of the Week, maybe?
Yeah, I could see that. Do they do freshmen?
They do. I'm pretty sure they do freshmen. I would think
Afari would have a chance defensively with the game he played. But, yeah, like, I don't know. I didn't see the stats from the other guys in the league. I mean, Tavion didn't score a touchdown, so maybe that hurts him. But he had a good game. But I would guess someone else in the league probably had a better game. I forget all the awards they do, man. But I would say Berrion, yeah. I think he'd have a good chance. Or some of the freshmen might have a good chance.
Yep. Well, as always, the show is powered by Blue Wire Pods. It's also powered by the Butcher's Pub, 3 locations, Palmville, Williamsburg, and London, Kentucky. You can visit thebutcherspub.com or check them out on Facebook. He's Derek Terry. I'm Sean Smith. We'll catch you next time on Kentucky Daily.